Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Good morning. What are you laughing at already?
I don't know.
We're just getting started and you're already laughing.
Such a good mood that we're going to be talking about what we're talking about this morning.
That's right. So today we're kicking off the week where we're going to do another series this week.
Right.
It seems like there's so many things in psychology that comes in fives. Yeah?
No.
The big five. We did some...
That's it. The big five.
Yeah. And then we got these five things. But there's more. That's true. There's more than just these five. But we're talking this week about defense mechanisms.
Right.
Now, what I think is really neat about defense mechanisms is that we all use them.
Right.
And we use them much more readily, I think, than we are sort of cognizant that we are using them.
We use them more often, and we use some that we're not even aware that we're using.
Right. And so we're going to talk about them a little bit today because these are very commonly used mechanisms, strategies for dealing with uncomfortable, frustrating, or just general things that we just don't want to accept.
That's right. Yeah, and these are from my hero, Sigmund Freud.
That's right.
Everybody criticizes Freud. You know, Freud takes a bad rap.
He does.
And he doesn't deserve it.
He does. And I think it has to do with his psychosexual stages of development. I think that that just kind of gets at people the wrong way.
Right. I think he's been wrongly associated with the sexual stuff.
Right.
He made many other significant contributions.
Right.
That are lost because people focus too much on sex and cigars and all that business.
Okay. Right. Well, you know, and it's so interesting because, you know, so much of what Freud taught us or theorized mm-hmm. or brought about are things that we use every day.
That's right.
They're statements that mm-hmm. people use every day. Many of you listeners use every day don't even know come from Freud.
They come from Freud. Freud was the first child psychologist. He was the first professional to say children are not just little adults.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep relearning that every generation, that children are not just little adults. But Freud was the first one to tell us that. And so I'm really happy that we're going to be discussing these defense mechanisms because they're a crucial part of his theorizing.
Right.
And as you just stated, we all use these things.
Right.
Whether we know it or not, we all use them. So he gave voice to these. He,
mm-hmm.
he explained why we use them and what role they play in our lives.
Right.
So I'm glad that we're able to talk about this.
Me too.
I'm looking back. That's right.
Me too.
Happy about this week.
So we're going to start out today with probably one of the more common defense mechanisms, and that is the defense mechanism of denial.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so denial is basically the overt statements, overt attempts to reject an idea.
That's right. And what we're going to try to do as we talk about these things, because even students, we teach this
mm-hmm.
in our classes,
mm-hmm.
even students have trouble keeping all these straight.
Right.
So we're going to try to give you a word or two
mm-hmm.
to remember. So
denial,
think of refusal.
Right.
Okay, you said reject, but associate denial with refusal.
Right.
Okay, what are we doing with denial?
Right. So we're refusing to accept something that has happened. We're refusing to accept some information that we receive. And we probably best know denial as a defense mechanism when we think about the stages of grief.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
When we talk about the stages of grief, one of them is denial.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is used in that capacity, it is a defense mechanism.
That's right. You defend yourself, you protect yourself by refusing to accept the reality that somebody has died.
Right.
Okay. We also see it with alcoholics and drug addicts.
Right.
You know, they refuse to accept that I have a problem.
Yep. Right? I can stop anytime I want to. So they're refusing to accept the fact that they have a problem.
That's right. So denial, think refusal.
Right.
Refusal to accept.
So there's like with so many of these things, there are benefits and costs.
That's right.
To using
that's
these right. kinds of and defense
that,
mechanisms.
That's the second thing that's important to remember,
right.
is that with each of these, there's a benefit to using it,
right.
because you protect yourself emotionally.
Right.
But there might be a cost associated
right.
with that.
Right.
Okay?
So the benefit, of course, as you, I think you used the perfect word just a moment ago, you're protecting yourself.
Right. Right.
There are, you know, when you think about conditions like PTSD and stress exposures, what happens is if we have the capacity mm-hmm. to truly deny, you know, truly
right.
not just say, no, it didn't really happen, but, you know, really know that it happened,
mm-hmm.
the difference between saying it and believing it.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you really believe to the point where you're using the denial defense mechanism, it is a protection that can mm-hmm. can shield you from trauma, from, you know, the psychological damage that trauma can cause sometimes.
Right, that's right. And that's the first thing you're doing.
Right.
Is you're protecting yourself from the trauma.
Right.
Okay? So we begin by saying, okay, this didn't happen.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Okay, it's not happening.
Right.
Okay? Or I am not doing this
right.
or that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it can play a very functional role mm-hmm. in our psychological
right.
health. Now, the problem, of course, is that if the event really did happen,
right,
and
right.
you believe wholeheartedly through this defense mechanism that it didn't happen,
mm-hmm.
then it really begins to interfere with your ability to process information and to manage loss or difficult information or difficult mm-hmm. circumstances. It interferes with your ability to process it, to learn from it, and to then do something that you may have to do next.
That's right, to get to resolution.
Right.
Because you talk about the grief process, and the last step, of course, is some type of acceptance and resolution.
Right.
So, because you need to move on with your life, okay? And if you stay in denial,
right.
you're not able to move forward and
mm-hmm.
deal with it. If you're an alcoholic or
mm-hmm.
you're a drug addict, you have the same problem. You're not able to do anything about it because you deny that you have a problem.
Right.
You know.
Right.
If you have relationship problems, well, it's not me. Can't be me. So it has to be somebody. So
right.
you deny that you have any culpability, that you're
right.
in any way responsible for the relationship problems, then you never deal with them.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's the other extreme. That's when it can be maladaptive.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are many reasons why a person would use denial. For many kids, especially,
mm-hmm.
it's an automatic. Oh, yeah. It's like, boom, no, I didn't do it.
That's
I don't
right.
know what you're
talking about. Young kids can do denial. Like, oh, they're
right.
good at it.
It's easy.
Well, I didn't do
it's
it.
It's easy.
I didn't eat it.
But even for adults and even teenagers and some kids as well, we use denial as a way to preserve our ego.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Right? We don't want to accept something that's going to damage us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's used, again, in that adaptive way of
right.
protecting ourselves. But it's to preserve our ego, to preserve our esteem, how we feel
right.
about ourselves, how we perceive ourselves. And we're trying to deny or refuse to accept something negative about ourselves. So this is like maybe in situations not necessarily where someone has passed away, but when you have done something that is a problem, something that you shouldn't have done,
right.
then you may use the defense mechanism of denial to protect your
self, your ego. And,
right.
and Freud said the ego,
right.
the self. So you use denial to protect yourself. Well, children typically have a very fragile
right.
sense of self because they just haven't lived long enough to
right.
develop a sure sense of self. So children quickly use denial,
mm-hmm.
Use it very well,
mm-hmm.
because they have a fragile sense of self.
Right.
Adults who have a fragile sense of self do the same thing.
Right.
They deny their responsibility, their culpability, their contributions to the problems if they have a fragile
right.
ego.
Right? Right.
If you have a stable ego and a strong ego, you can take criticism. You can accept responsibility,
right.
And then deal with your problem. So denial is a way of protecting a fragile ego.
Right. Mm-hmm. And another reason why a person may use it is we talked last week about sort of those continua of personality conditions. And so that,
right.
you know, we talked to freedom versus determinism and
right.
so on. But when it comes to the use of denial, many times we use it because we can't accept something that we don't witness directly. Mm-hmm. And so it's really difficult to say, okay, yes, I believe that that happened, right, even though I didn't see it, and even though this person is just telling me about it, and I have no evidence that it happened. We use denial as a way to process the information, because because of the way that we learn and because of the way that we see the world, we just can't see that something like that is possible. So we use denial and refuse to accept something.
And to confirm our biases.
Right.
You know, and
absolutely.
Climate change deniers, we've heard that phrase.
Right.
They're deniers because, well, I'm not exactly sure that it really happened. And
right.
I don't want to believe in climate change, so I deny it. I deny that it exists, and then it doesn't.
Right. Well, remember, comedic almost approach to that when in Congress they were talking about global warming,
right,
and the congressman brought in a snowball,
right,
and he says, oh, how can it be global warming? And that's a we're going to use rationalization, we're going to talk about some of these others that may really fall well into later in another podcast,
other
but
kinds.
Mm-hmm. But it's still a form of denial that I refuse to accept,
right,
any evidence that this could be the case.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because my bias is that it doesn't exist,
right,
and this confirms my bias.
Right.
So I deny it, and so I get to confirm my bias.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, again, in many ways, it's still a preservation of your own ego, because
that's right,
this is my bias, this is my belief,
mm-hmm,
and I can't accept anything that goes against my belief because
right,
my ego can't manage that.
Right. Right. Yep.
So, all right.
Good. Yeah.
So that's denial. Now, the rest of this week, we're going to talk about several other
mm-hmm
defense mechanisms.
Right.
We're going to go through projection. One called sublimation.
Right.
That's an exciting one.
I like that one.
Intellectualization and rationalization.
Right.
These are all ones that you have absolutely heard of before.
We've all used.
And probably
mm-hmm
used
right
a number of times. So
right,
we'll hit each one,
one
throughout
a day
this week. Yeah.
Like a multivitamin.
See?
Okay.
Or an apple. Either way.
Apple.
So, okay. All right. So until next time.
Yes.
Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.